listening to the 2 Month Podcast presented by BioSteel.
Welcome back to the 2 Months Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. I got two of the other co-hosts with us tonight. We got Brody McIntyre. Brodes, how's it going?
Going great today, buddy. Solid day. I'm a big fan of winter, so I'm ready to roll.
Yes. Yeah, it's here, eh? And we got the Rev back. Rev, how's it going?
I'm good, man. And unlike Brody, I am not a fan of winter, so I'm not ready for this stuff.
Yeah, it's a bit different from west out east, that's for sure. So yeah, funny because listen to Overdrive today and they're golfing today and you can't golf right now. So no. Brian Hayes shot a 77 today, so good nice. For him, but so that was kind of funny to hear that. And the weather's still pretty decent out there, but yeah, no, loaded podcast today. We have Brent Sutter joining us. That's our guest for today. Pretty good interview we had with him. I know, Brode, you had a commitment. You weren't able to join in, but, you know, Rev, you were there for it. But, you know, thoughts on kind of a little tease before we go to the interview and before we go down things. But thoughts on the interview with Sutter?
No, he's a class act. You know, that whole family, just a bunch of studs, man. So it was actually an honor talking to him. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good interview. I hope everyone likes it. We'll get to that interview very shortly. So we're pretty cool. We got a new sponsor joining us. We're just going to give them a plug. CDN, they got those great hats. Blake Coleman was wearing one the other day, Calgary Flames. So they got the kind of the stitching, the letters. They got everything there. They got some hoodies. They got some shirts. You got their full gear. So go to their website, wearecdn.ca. So go there. It's in our bio and all that. So you guys can just check that out. It's in our links, in our show links too. So check them out. Use promo code two months, and you'll get 15% off your order. So happy to have them on board. We just gave away 4 hats. So congratulations to the 4 people that won those hats, so we're pretty happy for that. We'll get to our big giveaway for our tickets for this weekend. So we got that. That winner was drawn not too long ago. We had one of our sponsors draw that, so we'll get to that very shortly. But, you know, we'll jump into the Edmonton Oilers report, sponsored by Shatify Salon and Barbershop. The big win last night. Rev, you're at the game. You know, thoughts of you know, the Oilers probably that was the gear that they were playing with most of the year last year. Mm-hmm. They got to it last night. Obviously, McDavid going down, maybe that kind of got them going. But you know, it was a good game, big win, 6-3. Thoughts over the Pens?
Man, they it's funny because I wasn't. I mean, you know, I've been very vocal about my confidence in Campbell and Nets, and the only time last night that I held my breath was the first shot of the game when they came down on Campbell, and I forget who it was, but just had a nice shot. And once I knew he looked pretty steady in the net, I knew that this was going to be, I mean, they were, I think at one point they went down 3-1, but I knew, you know, you sit in some of those games, you know, that they're going to come back and they're going to win. They're going to figure it out how they did it. But man, they were skating. They were playing, they were fighting, winning puck battles. They were, you know, forcing. I think I saw it today. The stat line was they had 20 takeaways to Pittsburgh's 8. You know, they were just hungry for the puck, hungry to get in, hungry to, you know, get shots and get, you know, slide some by. 26 shots in the second period. Man, it was just a really, really, really good game. And you know who continues to impress me is Ryan McLeod. That kid can skate, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, he had another great game. Brodes, you know, you were watching the game last night. I don't know if you're at it, but I know you were watching it. But your thoughts on the game, and I know you have some concerns you probably want to get to, but overall thoughts of the effort last night that you saw?
I like that they didn't just fold, right? They was down 3-1. They had a kind of a rough start, and then they just absolutely flipped the boots to them in the second. That was – It's crazy to think in an NHL game you can get 26 shots in a period. That's like men's league kind of numbers, yeah. Right? Watching little novice kids play hockey. It's crazy to think you can do that at that elite level. So that's the level they need to get to. The thing that I was really happy about is McDavid had 0 points and the Oilers had that many goals and everybody else chipped in around them. So that's a huge positive for the team moving forward.
It is. Yep. It is.
Broads, thoughts on I know we stick with the positives here, but thoughts on Campbell's play as of late? He's seems like he's slowly getting there, and I know, Reb, you've been talking about that a bit too, but you know, thoughts on Campbell's continued success early here as it's been better. It's been better for sure, right? So
I'd say overall it's very, very average, right? He hasn't been great, hasn't been awful, but
yeah,
pretty mediocre goaltending overall. I think if you look at the entire, I know it's only been a few games, but the short season that it's been so far, definitely hasn't been great. Hasn't been shit. Has been a couple of games, but for the most part, maybe just an average NHL goalie.
Yeah.
Kind of be my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does typically have a slow start. It's the opposite for Ilya Samsonov in Toronto, where he just always starts the season really well and then it kind of taters off there. But Rev, your thoughts on the play last night? He didn't really have much of a workload in the second period. The game kind of just was over by that point. I don't know if I didn't watch the third, but thoughts on kind of, it wasn't a great first period for the Oilers, but he definitely held them in it to the point where it could have been much worse. They were getting caved in pretty good too.
He made the stops when the stops needed to be made. I mean, he only had four shots on him in the second period. So I think I'm not a goalie. I don't get along with goalies. I only see him in the dressing room. They would say I never come back, you know, but he was there when he needed to be. Yeah. And he didn't look shaky. He stood on his head, but I think only having four shots in a period kind of sets you in a place where you almost go cold again, you know, so good for him for, you know, just hanging in there and doing what he needed to do and making the stops when he could. I mean, we watched Chicago in 2010 win the Stanley Cup with Niemi in net. I'm not saying the Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup, but you can have an average goalie and an incredible stud team in front of him and win a cup. But here's the problem: when you need him to steal a game, can he?
That's the thing, right? Is what can he do when you need him to steal a game for sure? Mm-hmm. So, the defense pairings, Kulak is probably in over his head. I think we can all kind of agree upon that. They definitely probably miss, Duncan Keith for sure. Bros, but your thoughts on, the D pairing so far, Nurse is getting a lot of minutes, but your thoughts on the pairing so far?
Well, Kulak, I'll start with him because you mentioned him. It's not his fault he's playing a top 4 minutes. Like, he's not a top 4 defenseman. And of course, he's going to look out of place sometimes. That's just natural. He's a bottom pairing defenseman. That's what he is. So at some point, they're going to have to get an upgrade, whether it's the deadline or Christmas, hopefully earlier rather than later. But if they can get somebody to fill in that slot, that would be great. You know who would be great? Would be Oscar Klefbom. Fuck. We could do this, really use him right about now. I know he's never coming back, but
yeah,
it's not his fault. Nurse, he's not the smartest of guys. He does make mistakes, but man, he plays half the game. He gets the worst minutes every single night. He's got every D-zone start. He's got the best players, he's going to shut down. Of course, he's going to make mistakes. He's not the brightest hockey IQ-wise, in my opinion, and misses some passes. But, I mean, that's going to happen. He is what he is. He gets paid a lot of money. And, I don't know, he pays 30 minutes a night or 28 minutes, whatever his stats are. I don't even know this year. But he gets a ton of minutes, works his balls off. And I'm happy he's in Oilers, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Rev, your thoughts?
Same. I mean, I'm in the same boat as Brody. It's not, he's doing what he's asked to do right now. And because he has to, it's a necessity. So you put on your big boy pants, you go out and you sweat and you do what you can. And sometimes your best is not,
the best, what's, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd rather him here than back in Toronto. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens for sure. Like, obviously I think they'll need to address that second pairing, but, so they can ease the minutes for Nurse, but we'll see what happens. They're tight against the cap and, I don't think anyone's taking Puljujärvi at this point, right, Broads?
No chance anybody's touching him.
Yeah.
So that being said, though, he's actually pretty good defensively. If he could just be a third line checker guy, I think he's actually pretty good when he doesn't have the puck. Mm-hmm. The problem is when he, as soon as he touches the puck, nothing good happens.
Yeah.
Either a dumb dump in, a random shot, a random pass that misses somebody by 6 feet, or even when he cycles it, it's all of a sudden, instead of a soft little cycle, it's ripped around the other side. You're like, where's that going?
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he doesn't have the puck, he's actually pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. With, for sure. We'll see what happens there. But it'll be an interesting. They got the St. Louis Blues coming up next, and then they got the Battle of Alberta round two. So that will be another interesting battle for sure. But they are playing good, and then McDavid looks like he'll be good, and he's not going to have to miss any time. That was a big sigh of relief. What were your thoughts going through your head there, Broads, when you saw that happen?
I actually, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that's not bad. It's just be a bruised back. He'll be fine. I wasn't actually, I'm sure lots of people in Edmonton were losing their marbles, including every single person who works for the Oilers and all of their teammates. But it didn't look that bad, to be honest. I wasn't that concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, those pegs, they come out easy, but they don't come out that easy. And
yeah,
somebody, the guy sitting beside me, kind of the guy that didn't come with me, was sitting on my right-hand side. He looked down. He said he just went in the tunnel. I said, here's the deal. It's the way he got up. It's just precautionary. They're going to have a look, you know, make sure he's got mobility and just, you know, he'll be back out. And when he, I mean, the air came out of that building.
I was going to ask you how that was.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, telling you right now, because I'm trying to think, somebody beside me said that was, and I'm trying to remember, I think they said Fogle that went in there, but they saw a 37, not a 97. Yeah. Someone's like, okay, well, whatever. But when it was, we're like, it's McDavid, everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. We'll move on to our Calgary Flames report, brought to you by Martelieu Barbershop. You know, those great guys down in Calgary there. You know, they pulled out another win the other night. It was another big win for them. They're rolling Tyler Toffoli with the game-winning heroic. That's what I was trying to find. There you go. Now I know how Biz Nasty feels when you can't find the word, right? So,
oh, man.
But great OT win. Obviously, he's rolling as of late. He's only four shy of 200 goals of his career. He just passed over 400 career points, but Toffoli's play as of late, Rev.
Man, I've always liked him, and it's weird because a lot of the time, the teams that were rivals with Hawks, and you know, in the playoffs when we were, you know, there, Tyler was a big part of that LA team where we would meet. You know, seemed like every year we would meet them in the playoffs. But for some, I just really, really like his game, and he is. I'm just so happy that he's found his place and his role on that team. He. Great fit. I mean, he's just been playing out of his mind.
Yeah. You know, Broads, the Calgary Flames, they're getting, you know, subpar goaltending too. Markstrom is 3-0 on the year, but his save percentage is below 900. You know, what do they need to do to kind of help him out, or what does he need to do, in your opinion, to kind of be better with a big game coming up tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I think in his world, kind of calm his, get his, he's probably looking at his numbers. He knows he's not playing well. It would be get a few shots early, settle him down, right? Get three or four or five shots in the first couple minutes. One of them kind of a big, not a huge save, but something nice, no rebounds. Now you can just hopefully take a deep breath and remember that he's a really good goalie, right? Like, he's awesome. I have no concerns that he's going to be a top goalie or top third in the league goalie over the course of the season, but you can just relax, get a few saves, take a deep breath, get the game kind of under his belt, have a sip of water, relax, and get going.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see kind of what he does here as he gets going. They need him. They need him firing at all cylinders. Vladar just got that 2-year deal extension, so they're solidified in the back end for a couple of years to come now. You know, we'll see what they can do. It's a big matchup and a big week for them. They obviously play tonight, and they got a few days off, and then they got the Battle of Alberta on Saturday, and we'll have a podcast probably out before that to preview that game. But you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see, you know, what some of the depth players on Calgary can do right now, because they're getting a lot of good help. You know, Richie's been pretty good, but it's that back end that's a little bit interesting with no Oliver Shillington. Hopefully he gets back here pretty soon. But, you know, Rev, your thoughts on any standouts besides, you know, Huberdeau's been good. You know, Kadri's been pretty good. But, you know, thoughts on some of the newcomers that are coming in and Uyghur.
Oh, man. Listen, the one thing that there's – I like the muckabouts. I like the guys like Luch, and I like the guys like Kadri that are not ashamed of their role on that team. I want to, Mackenzie Uyghur, you're going to get what you're going to get from him. He's just a solid player. But guys like Luch, who just own who they are in this league and not try to be anything outside of that. It's like Domi back in the day when Domi tried to be a scorer that one year and got 13 goals. And they said to him, we don't pay you to score. You know, we pay you to muck around. And who was it that he shoved back in the bench in Carolina?
Jacob Slavin, and that was pretty.
Oh, listen, I'm telling you right now. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, that is back in the Boston Bruin days, man.
Yeah.
He just continues to own who he is on that team. When he's on the ice, everybody's got their head on a swivel, making sure that he's not running them down. They're solid. But I mean, they're just a very, very scary, solid team.
Yeah. Bro, what's that?
Top to bottom.
Yeah, top to bottom. I was going to say, what do you think of that third line right now, centered by Michael Backlund, Broads?
You know what? When the Oilers played, I was at the game when the Oilers played, though. I thought Michael Backlund was the best player on the ice. Right. I really did. I thought he was fabulous. He is a great third line center. God, he can skate. He's always on the right side of pucks. I'm a huge – I wish he was an Oiler, Michael Backlund. I don't know how old he is. He seems like he's – I feel like I've seen him play forever.
He has been there for a while. Yeah. And he probably wants that C, right? Like, he's probably really trying to do a good job to be like, yeah, maybe mid-year, Sutter says, here, you deserved it. Now you get it. They don't have one right now. But, you know, I think he takes a lot of pride into that organization. He plays the right way. But finish your thought there, bro. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, like, Rev, he's kind of like Rev was saying about Luch. He just owns his role. That's when you think of a third-line center, that's – Michael Backlund's that guy, right? He's on for every important faceoff. He's killing penalties. He's up against McDavid. He's up against Crosby tonight. It's a tough role to play, and he's owning it, and he is doing a fantastic job at it.
Yeah.
Big fan of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Mutz fans, what's going down? It's Bosco here. We like to welcome SeatGeek. They're back with us. They were with us a few years ago. They're back with us this year. Use the promo code 2MutzPod. That's 2MutzPod at checkout. You'll get $20 off your order. SeatGeek, you won't be disappointed. You go on any hockey games, going to check out some NFL games, anything going on, some CFL games here in the playoffs as they get going, just check out SeatGeek. Use the promo code 2MutzPod, all capitals. You'll get $20 off your purchase.
What's happening, my beautiful babies? I am the Wolfman. Ow! I'm here cooling with the 2 Mutts, and it's time to TCB. That's take care of business. Every Halloween, before me and the missus paint the town red, we like to trim the pumpkin patch right down to the wood. The new Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 scratches us right where we itch. This electric razor is the best on the market, and I can help you get it. You dig? Use the code 2MUTZ to save 20% plus free shipping on all Manscaped products. Sound groovy, baby? It sure does to me. Again, use the code 2MUTZ to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Shop Manscaped today so you don't get lost in the woods. Wolfman out.
So yeah, the 2MUTZ podcast is presented by BioSteel. Clean, healthy, and dehydrated. Use the promo code MUTZ 25 at checkout to get 25% off your order at BioSteel.ca, the official sponsor of the NHL as well. So thanks for BioSteel for jumping on. this year. And we'll jump to our NHL news and notes brought to you by Roberts Creek. This is Gerald Blair Brulé's Airbnb, so the Hideaway Creek Airbnb that you guys can find. It's on our Instagram. Just search on our Instagram there. That's a good friend of ours, Gerald Blair Brulé, and his wife had just started this Airbnb not too long ago. So a few people probably heard the interview with Brew, and he kind of talked about it. So it's a pretty good place. They got some new things they're showing there. So our NHL news and notes. Go around the league. Rev, you're a big Phil Kessel guy. He breaks the record tonight for the Ironman streak. You know, thoughts on Phil the Thrill?
Listen, I everybody calls him Phil the Thrill. I call him just Thrill Kessel just because he doesn't – it's not a nickname. It's just who he is. He is – that clip you sent me today of those some of those funny moments, man, he just – he just – and he owns the fact that he's Thrill Kessel.
The best story I heard. There's one I heard, but it's not a podcast story. But the other story, I'll tell this one. But Elliot Friedman said it today, so I'm getting it from him. But he was at the BioSteel camp. Matty Nichol, a good friend of the podcast, he trains a lot of those guys out east. And so Kessel's just sitting there. He's just sitting on the bench, and he's just reading a book. And this one player walks up, and he just says, "Hey, like, you gonna do anything today, man? Like, you just been sitting there reading this book. Like, you know, I've been training really hard. I've been doing all this. I had, like, no days off. Like, you gonna do anything?" And Phil just has the book. He's like, "You want me to do something?" He throws the book down and just goes and bench presses everyone out of the wood. He just, like, just sitting there, and then bench pressed the most, leg pressed the most. Like, it was just like, and he just went back to his book, and he's like, "All right." And the guy was so mad. He was like, "I've just been training all summer doing all this, and you just come in and boom, do it."
He's like, got brute strength, man. Like, he's just a strong dude. And there was a clip of him when you get those trash talking videos. I forget who it was. I wish I could remember. Somebody was like, "Hey, Bill, you had your Coke today?" Like, drink. And Phil was like, "Nah, I'm a Pepsi guy."
Yeah, he loves his Pepsi. Morgan Riley was talking about that too. So, bro, your thoughts on Phil Kessel and where he's at in his career, and what an achievement he's hit tonight.
It's impressive. Speaking of the Pepsi, did you hear his story on Spittin' Chiclets today?
No.
It's actually an old one. They just replayed it today, saying they were sitting around and they heard Randy Carlyle was going to be the new coach. And he was going to ban all Coke products. And he's like, "I'll fucking quit right now. I won't." He's like, "You just signed a $56 million contract. I don't care. I'll quit."
Well, wasn't it him? It was him that was telling Phil, "Phil needs to get in the gym." He says, "You need to get in the gym, you fat pig."
Yeah, good old Phil Kessel, man. Some good stories.
But listen, good on him, man. He's a class act. Yeah. He really is. Like, he just owned his game, owned who he is. Shooter. I mean, he's a shooter.
Yeah.
Just an absolute beauty.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's been good. I want to give some love here to Vernon Fiddler's nephew here, Riley Fiddler Schultz. He scored 5 goals the other day in the dub. Pretty hard to do that. Not many players get to do that. But 5 goals for the Calgary Hitmen. He is the captain of the Calgary Hitmen. He is back for his final year in the dub. But, this guy just does everything right. I'm really hoping he gets himself an NHL contract here. He's gone a few NHL camps and gotten a little bit of a taste of these little camps going on. But, he's really honing into his own here and doing a good job. But, Broads, your thoughts on Riley Fiddler-Schultz with a 5-goal game in the dub?
Not just 5 goals, 4 of them in a row.
Yes.
That's crazy, man. And he's actually playing against my son's family's – their kid. My son's Billet's family. It's their son's on PA. That's who they're playing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he wasn't on the ice for too many of them. But that's 5 goals in any league at that – anywhere near the NHL, WHL, even U18, U7. That's impressive shit. That's
– yeah.
Good for him, man. 4 in a row, that's crazy. I don't know what the odds are of that, but that's not very – it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, it is for sure. Rev, your thoughts on that?
I missed that game, so I didn't see it, but I'm gonna definitely go look at some highlights for sure.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool too. So, and obviously, Patrick Laine returns tonight, so great to see that. The St. Louis Blues have signed Tyler Pitlick, former Oiler. So he signs a 1-year deal with the Blues to kind of give them some more depth. You know, they're a little bit banged up there up front, so he'll help them out. Rev, your thoughts on the Vancouver Canucks? It's not been going so good right now, but overall thoughts. I know you, as a Blackhawk fan, you would have seen them, the Canucks, play a lot. But
Yeah, listen, I've still got deep wounds from those series, man. And I am not a Vancouver fan, but I'm going to tell you this right now, they are not that bad. I don't know what's going on. If we were to sit here, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks into the season, you tell me Buffalo's 4-1 and they're 0-5 and 2, I think they are right now, I'd shake my head and tell you you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know what's going on. You got a goalie like Demko, which I vouched for, man. Like he was going to come out and play hard and, you know, maybe win Vezina this year, maybe, but I don't know. I can't explain it. I mean, Boudreaux is going to have one of his classic tirades and he's going to flip out and, you know, right the ship, but I don't know until when do they get to that point.
Yeah, it's a, you know, he's a kind of a, it's been interesting because Jim Rutherford was on After Hours with Scott Oak, and you know, that was kind of really tough to kind of watch in a way, because, you know, seeing how, you know, down he was, and it's not been good right there right now. And, you know, Boudreaux's in that last year, so it's like, it's a day by day kind of thing. And, you know, I don't think he deserves to get fired. I don't think this is on him, but bro, your thoughts.
My thoughts are, all summer long, they needed to fix the defense, and they didn't fix the defense.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like Craig Button said it on his podcast, and I'll agree with him, is I don't know why they signed Ilya Mikheyev. They didn't need Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Ilya Mikheyev is a bad player. He's a good player for sure, but, you know, you needed that on the back end. Sorry, bro, go ahead.
And they could have got, for the money they gave him, they could have got two defensemen.
Yep, there were.
They gave him, they gave him 5-point-something million. I don't know.
Could have got like a bench.
It's not Boudreaux's fault.
No,
he'll be the easy scapegoat because only as you said, his contract expired, so it'll be easy guy to fire, bring in somebody else. It's not going to fix anything. If you don't have any defense, you can't win.
Yeah,
they had all summer, and if I knew it, obviously they know it. So they didn't fix it, and that's what's happening. They're not as bad, obviously, as.
I don't think they're as bad as their record is saying it, but I don't think they have a cancer in that room either. Like, we're not in that room. We'll never be in that room kind of thing. That's obviously stays there. But, you know, to say that you had after your first 9 periods of hockey, you had a players only meeting. You don't see that too often. Like, I know last night, a lot of people talked about it in Edmonton after the first period, they had their own players only meeting. Jay Woodcroft went in there and ripped the paint off the wall. And then, after that, the players kind of stood up and did their own thing. And you know, I think player to player means a lot more than maybe player to coach or, you know, and whatnot. I think when you call out a player, it definitely helps. But and it saw the result in Edmonton, but you didn't see the result. It's actually gotten worse in Vancouver in a way. And they are scared to do anything here. Like, it was outplayed pretty bad against Carolina. And that's probably a team that's going to come out of the East there. I don't think anyone's really going to – it's going to be a tough one to beat Carolina, man. Like, that's a really good hockey team. They're only going to get better. They're probably going to add down the stretch here. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll shift gears to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just another lackluster effort last night. The start of every single period last night against Vegas got worse and worse and worse. Like, the start of the third period, that first goal – that Chandler Stephenson scored, I was just like, that looks like it was an NHL team versus the five of us on this podcast out there. Like, it looked like.
What are you saying, bud?
it was not good, man. It was getting worse and worse. And you would think, you know, you played Winnipeg, a big win, you win, you get to probably Vegas. You land in Vegas because you gain some hours. You probably land in Vegas and you get there maybe at 11, maybe 12. So you're probably going on the strip. That's like landing somewhere at 9, you know. And so you get there, you do your thing, and then you're not leaving Vegas until Wednesday because you don't play San Jose until Thursday. So, you know, you're the like, that's the one thing with the Leafs is, you know, from being around and interviewing a lot of the media from that side of the world here, you definitely hear and see a lot of, like, the great perks that they get. Not many teams, because Toronto has the money to do it, so not many teams are going to get into a city that early and stay there after that too, because it is cost a lot of money. But they have the most amount of money to do. But it's just like Samsonov has been unreal for them. I can only imagine if he hasn't been the player that he is now, where that could be. There they are 4-3, but it has been tough. Broge, your thoughts on the effort that the Leafs have right now? Matthews isn't going either, but the same thing with last year. He had the same kind of start last year and he ended up still scored 60. I can't do that every year, have a slow start, but thoughts on the Leafs?
It probably is driving the coach insane, management insane. I'm not worried whatsoever, though. They're the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're going to get their act together. They're going to make the playoffs, and then they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. That's kind of what they are.
But the thing is, Broads, they might not even make the playoffs. Look how good Ottawa is. Buffalo's been pretty good. Florida has been pretty good. Tampa's going to get there. They're 3-3. But, that division is probably much harder than it was any years since – the last 6 years that the Leafs have been in the playoffs. That's the thing, is I think they take that for granted in a way that, okay, we'll get to the playoffs and then whatever happens, right? There's no guarantee. I don't know. Some of these teams winning, I know that the Red Wings got pumped tonight against the Devils and whatnot. So you're gonna have those games. But Ottawa's won 4 in a row. They look better, and they're playing with their third string goaltender, and they still look like a really good team. Like Talbot's down, Forsberg went down, Hedberg goes in last night and he stands on his head and they win. It was a big game against a really good hockey team too. But, finish your thoughts. Sorry there, Broads. I keep on cutting you off. But
that's okay, buddy. I like it. You're a Leafs fan, man. Go nuts. It's got to be heartbreaking watching.
Well, I'm the guy setting you guys up for the takes and whatnot, right? But it is frustrating to watch. It is frustrating to watch as a fan for sure, because it's been, you take for granted the regular season is my point. And then once you get to the playoffs, and then they do it every year, right? They get to the playoffs, they get to a game 7 or whatever, if it's a game 5, and they don't show up. Right. And Matthews has had some chances to, just a backdoor unreal play and good save by the goaltender, Logan Thompson for the Vegas Golden Knights. But it's just unreal kind of, but at the end of the day, like I kind of said in the group chat, their defense is not good enough. Justin Hall, I've kind of been a fan of him for a while, but it's just been tough watching him. The plays this way, he's looking this way. It's kind of tough, but.
They've always been like that.
They have, right? Yeah.
You've watched them all season. What is it? What are they looking at? They look like they're not trying. They're just going to the most.
What I don't get is my thing is, you'd think at some point you would kind of play with some anger, some embarrassment. You just last year you had this great season, this record amount of wins and points and all that. And then you get it, you play obviously a really good team in the playoffs. You think you come back out and really do a good job trying to, be really good. But there's no push, there's no fight. There's Per Engvall looks like he's worse than Puljujärvi, for crying out loud. And Per Engvall got healthy scratchers three times last night. He's in on the forecheck. He can get it there because he can skate, but it's a flyby every time. Flyby. And it's good defensemen like Petrangelo, Theodore. You could erase them. Yes, they got rid of the puck, but you still have that time to finish your check. You're not going to get an interference there, but he just flyby leaves. And if he's ripped, he's a strong, he's really big, tall player. But there's no bite there. Wayne Simmonds is playing on his last probably leg that he probably thinks it's his night, his, career in the NHL is on the line every night, but he's going out in there doing what he can do, but you can't rely on that. Their biggest thing is their bottom six is getting caved in pretty bad, and their bottom two pairings are getting caved in. Riley and Brody are pretty good, but after that, it's tough, and you can't – Victor Mete, he's an up-and-down kind of guy. You can't be asking him to be that. Sandin's still there. They miss Liljegren. They miss Muzzin. Muzzin's going to be out for a while. Who knows if he's ever going to play again? But it's a combination of things. And I think that's them. But I'll give Vegas credit, man. That is the best team, besides some of the games Calgary's played, and then besides what the Oilers did in the last 40 minutes. I only watched the second period. I didn't watch the rest of the period, but I watched that whole game. I think that was the best game I've ever seen anyone play, like any team play this year. Like Vegas was on it. Like that was,
oh, nice.
They like, and there's a lot of people down on them, and you know, they've done a lot of bad things. You know, we like, you know, letting players go, bringing players in, and you know, but that team last night, Bruce Cassidy has that team going. They don't have any injuries besides the goaltenders. Everyone else is either playing. You know, I feel bad for Nolan Patrick. Who knows if he's going to play again? That's the one guy up front that they're missing, but he's had concussion issues for quite some time now. And, but, you know, we'll see what happens there, but you got to give team credit though, too. Like Vegas was all over them. Like that game should have been much worse than it was. They were lucky that it was like that, but, Rev, your thoughts.
I'm looking at this division right now, and outside of Montreal,
I forgot Boston. Boston's unreal too, right? Sorry.
Yeah, Boston's first. But I'm looking at anybody outside of Montreal, and for some reason, Montreal year by year finds a way to get close. They're,
yeah, they do. I mean,
you know, you've got a division full of contenders here, man. You know, and if the Bruins or if the Sabres can sustain what they're doing right now, they're going to be scary. They're a very, very good young
team. This is crazy about Buffalo. Craig Anderson's 41 years old. He's the oldest player in the NHL right now. In the summer, he's done this his whole career. He never takes his gear home in the offseason. Oh, he leaves all his gear where he plays, and then he comes back, and that's it. Like, he just picks up where
– come on.
I'm not joking, bro. It's like, he talked about it this training camp. He season's done. His gear stays here. He goes to Florida. He stays there with his wife and his kids, and he doesn't – he works out, but he doesn't do anything on ice. And then when he gets the first week of September, he gets there, and he's on the ice. That's crazy.
Awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all, dude, you're fired up, man. These Leafs got you fired up.
Oh yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna still stand on my prediction that they, you know, they win the Eastern Conference. But dude, they've got to get in gear. You know, it's coming to that time right now where they can get so far out of the race that they'll be just playing catch up all year. Yeah. But they got it in them. I mean, they got it in them. I know that I've just heard nothing, but now everybody's calling for Justin Hall's head. You know, they want him out of town.
They've been at him since last year too, right?
Yeah, so. But I mean, just give it a rest, man. You know, let them find it. They'll get it. I mean, Murray going down didn't help.
Yeah,
you know, so
no, but I think that was to be expected, right? So I don't think if you're holding, like, you know, that was Dubas trying to hold his cards into that basket, and you know, which is still questionable in my opinion. But you know, Samsonov, I could see that because, you know, Noodles, friend of the pod and whatnot, like he always, you know, his post to post segment's really good. You know, so man, Kadri is on fire tonight. Wow. So 2-0.
Yeah, I don't have him in any of my fantasy teams either. Somebody stole him from me.
Yeah, but so we'll see what happens there. Something's got to give. But I think that's about it, boys. We'll get to our for that. I don't know if you have anything else to add. We've been going pretty long here. Let's probably get to our interview with Brent Sutter here, but. Before that, we'll hand out our winner for the two Calgary Flame Edmonton Oilers tickets and the two jerseys. Our friends at Pete's Concrete went through our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and all that, and they pulled out the name, and the name was Mubar Osman. Instagram handle mbk.ks. Mubar Osman is the winner of the prize. So he is.
Congrats, buddy.
He has never gone to an NHL game before.
Awesome.
He's a big basketball fan, big baseball guy. But so huge congrats to Ozzy, as his nickname is here. So he is our winner. So big congrats to him. And then so we have the jerseys to give away. I know we've been there's been four fake accounts made up now, guys. I understand and we apologize. And I feel bad. This one guy messaged me today, and he said he lost money because he clicked on the link and they took money out of his account or something like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. He fell into the trap. So I just feel bad for that. So that's just awful to hear. But I do appreciate, and we appreciate everyone kind of, you know, seeing that it is fake and reporting these. But the jersey giveaways for November will start in November. So. Every episode we'll hand out two jerseys, one an Oiler, one a Flame jersey. We'll kind of plug that a bit, and that will be Brody McIntyre's real estate company. We'll kind of be sponsoring that and plug in that segment for us. So when we get to there, we'll be playing Brody's ad read, as everyone heard it last week on our episode. So Brode is our real estate agent here in the Edmonton area. So so kind of a little niche there with that. So a huge thanks to everyone there, taking part. And so hand that out starting in November, and we'll go one by one, and then we'll end up reaching out to you guys and dropping those off. I just dropped off those hats the other day. So those are pretty sick hats too. You got to get some more of those. It's kind of nice seeing some other NHL players wear them. I know Toffoli wears them, and then they were pretty excited when they saw Blake Coleman wear the CDN hat. That was pretty sick. And anything else you guys want to plug before we jump to our interview with Brent Sutter?
Good, buddy.
You're good? All right. So this interview with Brent Sutter will be sponsored by our great friends at Free Bars. So Luke and his team there. So huge shout out to them. And thanks to all our sponsors for helping us out. After the Brent interview, we'll be back to kind of wrap up the interview, as we did that. So you guys can hear that at the end. Enjoy, have a great one, and enjoy our interview with Brent Sutter.
The Two Mutts podcast is brought to you by Free Bars, and Free Bars are arguably the best tasting energy bar. You might have heard Free Bars on the podcast before, and maybe you've tried them at Edmonton's most popular farmers markets. Free Bars focus on three main things for their bars. One, Free Bars are free of priority allergens, including peanuts, nuts, dairy, eggs, gluten, and soy. Second, Free Bars taste great. I was talking to Luke, the man behind Free Bars, and the comments they get while sampling is always positive. Everyone loves how they taste. Three, they are full of healthy and whole ingredients, nothing artificial and no preservatives. Free Bars are made right here in Edmonton, and they are quickly popping up in stores around the city. Free Bars use a mixture of hemp hearts, honey, and gluten-free oats as their base. And then there are the three flavors: chocolate chip, mint chocolate chip, and the popular coconut. Free Bars' list of ingredients is short. Like in the coconut, there's just hemp hearts, honey, gluten-free oats, shredded coconut, and coconut oil. That's it. As school gets back into the swing of things and hockey season starts, parents and kids are bringing Free Bars to the rink as a healthy, delicious snack. Want to try? Listeners of this podcast will get 20% off with the promo code 2MUTS. That's one word, 2MUTS, and the discount will be applied at checkout. Learn more about Free Bars by visiting us at Strathcona's Farmers Market, Bountiful Farmers Market, and St. Albert Farmers Market, or online at freebars.ca. Want to pick it up at the store? Check out freebars.ca for a full list of our realtors. Don't forget the promo code 2MUTS and have arguably the best tasting energy bar today. That's Free Bars.
Mutts fans, our next guest won two Stanley Cups, and he also won three Canada Cups. He's went on to play over 1,100 games in the NHL. He also played 144 games in the playoffs. He is the owner and president and general manager of your Red Deer Rebels. We'd like to welcome back to the Two Mutts podcast, Brent Sutter. Brent, how's it going?
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks again for doing this. Definitely means a lot for us, and it's good. Things are going pretty good for you guys right now. Got to say, the 10-0 start's pretty sweet. Obviously, a franchise record as you can keep on piling those wins. So how excited are you for the start that you guys have so far?
Well, obviously, we're certainly been happy with their start. How can you not be, right?
So, yeah.
But we also recognize and understand it's a long year. There's going to be, times where you're going to go through some tough times too, but any points you can pile up early are important because you don't get them back if you don't have them at the end of the year. So, we're obviously, it's been a very good start for us. So we think that there's games that we've played pretty well, and there's games that we've been fortunate to get some wins in, and our goaltending has been very good.
Yeah, no, it has been. You guys have a solid team. You know, over the years, you've had amazing teams, and I know the season just started, but how would you compare, you know, this start to the starts that you've had before, but also with the talent of the players getting better as the years go on here? Is there anything that you would put your finger on to that conversation?
Well, the game changes over time. I think all teams, certainly at levels of our level or higher, you have to adjust and adapt to how the game's being played and the type of players you need to have on your team. I don't like comparing teams. You know, we've had teams in the past that have gone all the way to the finals and won the league and won the Memorial Cup. So until you accomplish it, you really can't compare yourselves to those teams. You know, it's certainly, this team here is certainly the deepest and certain positions, the best we've been, whether it's in, goaltending so far has been pleasantly very good, which we've been very happy with. And yeah, it needs to continue to improve and get better. They're two young guys that have never played in our league before, but they're very solid individuals, great team guys. They work their butt off. Our goaltending coach, Eden Gordon, has done a great job of working with these guys and getting them better and getting them ready for every night to play. So our goaltending has been very good, but our defense and down the middle, we're as deep as we've been in a long, long time.
Yeah. And
so on those, to me, those three positions are critical in building a team the right way and finding the right guys that can play with the centermen. And we certainly have depth on the wings. You know, we could play, you know, outside of maybe two or three guys, the rest of them are actually, whether they played through minor hockey or early in their years in junior hockey, they've been center icemen, now they're playing wing. So yeah, we have an abundance of center icemen, but the four that we've been using down the middle have been very good. So it's I guess at the end of the day, I'm not putting the cart ahead of the horse. I'm, you know, it's taking a game at a time, a day at a time with the group, and coaches have done a great job with the group and getting them prepared every game. They have depth to work with, and we know that as the season goes along, as we are running right now, we're running into some bumps here with some injuries and stuff. So our depth is going to be tested now.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a tough blow today with Ben King out, I wanted to talk about him. He put himself in a good position, Brent, to get drafted this past year, put in the work. He's been great for your organization since he's pretty much stepped in. Talk about the tangibles that he brings to your team and, how much he means to your group. And obviously a speedy recovery to get him back, but the importance of Kinger to your organization.
Well, obviously, he's developed himself into being an elite level player at this level. We acquired him in 17 when he was 17 from Swift Current, and there's a lot of things on his game that he really had to work on, and we've been certainly worked with him on it. He certainly is growing through it all. He's gotten bigger, stronger. He's a big young man, and he certainly has skill sets. He can certainly shoot the puck. Just areas in his game that he had to be better at. And he certainly has worked on it, and we've worked hard with him on it. And last year he took a big step, and obviously we were certainly happy and we're surprised that we'd gotten him back as a 20-year-old from Anaheim. We really felt that there was a possibility he might stay and play in the American League, but that didn't work out, and they wanted to reassign him back to us, which was great for us.
Yeah. Right?
Any team that can add a 50 goal scorer, 100 point man to your group is significant. And yeah, he came back and he certainly has played extremely well since he got back here. And unfortunately, he got hurt the other night, and now he's going to be out for an extended period of time. So we'll get through it and we'll move forward with it. And, I'm not going to use injuries as excuses. It happens in our sport, it happens at every level. And, it's next man up has to take it and go with it now. And that's got to be our attitude.
Yeah, no, exactly. A couple more and then I'll throw it to Jamie here. But I want to talk about Mats Lindgren on the back end, another draft pick from the Sabres. A great year for him, his first year with your organization. Talk about the stability that he brings to your team on the back end and in kind of honing in that first pairing for you guys.
Well, you know, he's a young player that still is learning the game, right? Learned how to be a good defenseman. And it's really what we want to do is develop him to being a real good two-way, 200-foot defenseman that plays the game the right way. And that's what Buffalo's expecting from him. And that's what we have to work with them to develop on. It's, your game should never be based on points. I mean, if you have 2 points in a game and you're a minus two or minus three, it's not a very good night for you. And I'm not saying that's happened with Mats, but what it is, it's just a thing where we want to continue to work with him. He's a very exceptional, like high level talent and a tremendous skater, but a young man still has to learn a lot about the game. And it's our job as a coaches to work with them. And as far as the coaches are and concerned and make him better and hold him accountable for things on the ice that, you know, that he needs to get better at. At the end of the day, we want to see him fulfill his dream, and that's being a real good professional hockey player. And because there's a lot of, you look back, guys, there's a lot of players that put up a lot of big points in junior hockey, and they're really good players in junior hockey, but they never make it to the highest level, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah. And
it's our job to teach him the right way and play the game the right way, and he's a great young man. Think the world of him. He's been here. He's been nothing but top notch as far as a teammate and stuff like that. And but it's just continued to grow him as a player and as a person. And he needs to continue to be very coachable. He may not like everything as far as, you know, not getting, you know, maybe all the situations that you like to be in, but no player in a game, but no player ever is. And yeah, that's a good thing, you know, and that's what we need to continue to help on so he can be one of those players someday. So, but he's taking strides. He's playing with one of the top D-men in our league in Sedov. And he needs to, you know, learn from him too. And, you know, again, he's a tremendous talent. He's a phenomenal skater, we're certainly very, very excited to have him on our team. But we also know he's a young man that there's a process in developing, and it's, at the end of the day, our job is to get him ready for the pro level and make sure he's the best defenseman he can be at that level. And we communicated with Buffalo on it. They're expecting the same thing. So that's what we need to do.
Yeah, no, for sure. Very well said. And I agree. He's been good to watch and fun to watch. And, you know, we're covering a lot more WHL with our stuff here, and that's our plan for this year. But I just want to touch base and I want to ask you one more question before I throw it to Jamie. But your head coach, Steve Konowalczyk, his second year with your organization, what kind of abilities and what kind of, you know, qualities does he bring to your team? Because one of the great things I love about your organization, Brent, is that not only do you develop and help these kids out being great hockey players, but you also take a lot of pride in making sure that they're good people away from the rink too. And I think that starts obviously at the bench and it starts with you and your family. But, thoughts on Steve as your head coach?
Well, Steve's done a great job, you know, and I went through the process. We went through the process as an organization to hire a coach when last summer when I made the decision that I wasn't going to move forward being the head coach. I really wanted someone that was has the experience at the next level, understands what it takes to get there. So when you're talking to an individual inside the room, they know firsthand that you knew what it took to get there. Is someone that has had some success, someone that coached at that level and has had some success. And also the fact that anything that was a bonus above that was the experience factor. He's coached our league and had success in our league and watched a group of players from when they were young kids to grow through their system and develop them into into championship caliber players and teams. And he did that in Seattle. So, you know, he was the perfect fit. Someone that thinks the game a lot like I do, as far as the details, as far as playing the game the right way, holding players accountable, putting the work into it. And Steve has checked off all those boxes, and you know, and he's just carried on from where it was last year. And I think at the same time, he's grown with this group of players for the most part. For the most players, I mean, outside of maybe four or five guys that we've either acquired or they've come into our team this year. But you know, it's a process, and he's worked hard at it, and he trusts his group. Players trust him. You know, he's a great communicator. Him and I see the game a lot alike, the way the game needs to be played. And, you know, and that's important between management and coaches, right? And, you know, if there's something that I need to be engaged in, or something needs to be said, or my voice needs to be heard at some point, whether it's just with an individual player or maybe something with, you know, usage of our goaltending or whatever it may be. I'm just using that as an example. Steve is very open to my guidance on that too, and which I think is really important to have. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. You know, I've had a lot of success as a coach, and we've built this organization up to it was, and Steve is very respectful that way. And, you know, and yet I like the fact that, you know, that, he's, you know, he thinks the game a lot like I do. So our communication is, when we talk about things, we both understand and get what the needs and wants are with our players and our group. So that's been really good. And yet I don't get too much involved in it. I have a tremendous amount of trust in Steve and his coaching staff, and I let him coach. And, you know, as they say, players play, trainers train, coaches coach, managers manage, and that's just kind of the way it works, the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I want to just kind of touch on two players here. One really piques my interest in Jaden Groob. I know, you know, since the day that you've drafted him, we've just watched him year over year develop into an exceptional player. You know, getting drafted, you know, last year has looked like he has elevated his game again. Talk to me about his recent play. You know, just, I mean, we know his importance to the team, but from your standpoint, his leadership style, like he is a wonderful player to watch.
Well, you know, we drafted Gruber, and, you know, he comes in as a 16-year-old with us, and you knew that he was going to be at some point, you didn't know when, but you thought at some point that he was going to turn into being a real heavy player, hard player to play against, someone that can contribute offensively, but really be responsible in all three zones, someone that can play in any situation. And, you know, and yet, you know, it takes time for that to, you know, for you to grow into it. But when he came out of his 17-year-old season, you know, mind you, that was a, and we know it was a, you know, it was a year that, it was a tough year because of, you know, we had COVID going on and all that stuff. Right. Yeah. So, and we only had I believe it was a 24 game schedule. So, you know, and we named him captain that year. And, so he's 17 years of age, being the captain of your group, right? And and he was like four games in or five games in, whatever it was, and he tore his ACL. So he missed the whole, you know, the whole rest of the year, which was not a lot of hockey, but he still missed it and training the right way and stuff like that. So last year, especially with the new coach coming in, I thought early I think Gruber was a little frustrated just because of the fact that he, you know, he hadn't played hockey. He had to go through all that rehab. I mean, it was just over six months before he was back to somewhat normal as far as physically, with his knee being where it needs to be to feel, I guess, somewhat confident in it. And I know firsthand, and I talked to Steve and the coaching staff about this, that it happened to me. And I know that I came back in 5.5 months or just about 6 months back when I was playing in Chicago. And it took me that whole year to get back to where I felt totally comfortable, felt like I could do certain things that was more normal with it than how it was before, right? So, and I knew Gruber would, it'd be a process. And I think at times the coach got, you know, was a little frustration set in both with coaches and Gruber because of maybe his play to some degree. But I felt that if he had a strong, I told the coaches last year, it's going to take him till February 1st, even though it was in September when he started coming back and started practicing and stuff like that. And it was February 1st till he really started seeing his game go to a different level. And then he was able to, and last year when he got drafted by the Rangers, he went to their training camp, but he never participated. He just did off ice workouts and basically skating on his own. And before he came back to our camp. So because of his ACL, and this year he got to go down there. He went and spent the summer in New York. He trained there. The Rangers were great, fantastic in how they groomed him through the summer and got him ready for our camp and got him ready for their training camp. He got a chance to play some exhibition games as far as rookie games. He got to practice with the big boys. And he came back in a whole different attitude as far as just feeling confident, feeling comfortable with the new coaching staff, the coaching staff feeling comfortable with him as far as new coaching staff from a year ago and with Steve and the staff. And he's had a great start, and he's been very responsible, and he's been a big-time player for us, and he's played extremely well. And yet what we envisioned him to be like back when he was 15 when we drafted him, you know, now you're seeing it as a 19-year-old. And yet if we would have played a full year the year before, we probably would have seen it as an 18-year-old, right? So we've been excited, happy for him. You know, he's been through a lot, and he's responded well. He's our leader in our dressing room. He's the pulse of our room, and he's done a really good job, and I'm happy for Gruber. He's played well, but he's earned it from all his hard work and determination.
Yeah, and he's really answered the call of that C on his jersey too. He's an exceptional leader, man.
Well, that's why I say, like, he's the pulse of our team, and that's what leadership needs to be. You know, when Gruber doesn't say a lot, but when he says it, everyone listens. And you know, and he's a big boy, so there's that there with him too, right? But he's playing the game the right way. He's playing heavy, he's playing hard, he's skating, he's shooting the puck, he's making plays, he's being responsible, right? And in all areas of the ice. And again, Steve's been really happy with him, because Steve knows as well as I do that he is the pulse of the group.
Yeah. And Kalen Lind, I know it's a big year for him being eligible after the season, you know, for the draft. Has he expressed anything, or have you as a staff seen anything that's you're really wanting to work with him on, you know, any part of his game that you could see would really catch the eye of one or a few different teams?
Well, I think as any other, you know, as all young kids, they got to work in all aspects of their game. And that's part of what coaching is, right? And yet he's very receptive. He's a real student of the game. He wants to get better. He's highly, very, very highly competitive. Sometimes to a point where, you know, you need to sit down and talk to him about how and I think this year how he needs to do some things maybe better, control his emotions a little bit more. But he has certainly grown up a lot. You know, this year you see him really taking strides. I thought it really helped him playing at the U18s this year for Team Canada. And he was a very effective player and an important role they had in their team. So, you know, he's carried that through to our team. He started the year at center ice, his natural position, because Kanger wasn't here. And then when Kanger came back, we moved him to wing because he played wing a lot last year. And he played with Kanger on the wing and didn't miss a beat and kept going. Now with Kanger back out of the lineup, now he moves back to center ice again. So, you know, he's a really, really highly competitive player that brings it every night. He's grown up a lot, and he's obviously a very important player to us. And he's gonna, you know, he's got a great career ahead of him. Continuing to get him to get better.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, he. I was at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup this year in Red Deer. There, it was. He was a standout for sure. Did a really good job, that tournament ran off, in my opinion, really well. So, you know, switching gears, we'll kind of ask you a couple questions about the Battle of Alberta. Obviously, you know, your brother said last year that the best thing about it is it's probably good for the economy for our province. You know, so
beer sales.
Exactly. Yeah. So your thoughts on, like, obviously what we're seeing now. Obviously, when you were in Calgary, you guys kind of ran that Battle of Alberta. You guys kind of owned it a lot. You know, it's kind of a little bit more competitive now. But your thoughts on what we're seeing with both these great organizations and great teams.
Well, you know what, from a fan standpoint in this province, and to have two organizations being successful now is awesome. Right. And he knew that Edmonton was going to make the turn there when they drafted Connor and Leon, you know, and they've added certainly to the groups with Nurse and, you know, and so forth. So, you know, they've done a really good job there building that team as far as making them to the standards and getting them play to the standards that they need to play at to be successful in the National Hockey League. And obviously everyone knows, who the two players are that are the leaders there, right? So, you know, as far as top end star players that make a difference every night in the way they play, you know, and so in Calgary's makeup is a little bit different, right? They're just a real solid, deep team that got some really good players on it, and as do Edmonton, you know, but goaltending is a big thing, and the Oilers certainly feel that, you know, you look at the goaltending they had last year down the stretch in the playoffs, it was a big factor for them to have success, right? And then they went out and signed Campbell. And so they're just not thinking about now, but also the future for their goaltending too. So, you know what? And Calgary is, you know, you got to give Brad full marks for what the job he did this summer. I mean, you look at it and everyone thought it was the death of the Flames because all of a sudden Goodrow's gone and Tkachuk wants to be traded. And, you know, and it's the same thing. If players don't want to play for you, then go out and find guys that do, and you'll be a better team for it, right? And for Brad to do what he did and then make those trades like he did with Florida and then go ahead and then move forward and sign Nassim, Kadri is, you know, they're probably certainly a deeper team.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, they're, you know, may end up being even a better team, right? So time will tell with all that, with trades and stuff. You never know how it's all going to work out because there's so many variables in it could happen with injuries and so forth. So, but, you know, you look at both teams, they're very highly competitive teams and obviously great coaches on both teams. You know, and the both organizations, you're happy for both clubs, right? Because you want to see our province have two very good teams here, and it's great for our fans. It's this brings the excitement level up, you know. So as a fan, it's been great to see the last couple of years.
Yeah, that sure has. It's a big Battle of Alberta coming up this weekend for sure. So one more. Obviously, you guys have been partners with the Central Alberta Child Advocacy Center for quite some time now. And obviously, you guys have the decals on your guys' helmets going into this year. Obviously, yesterday was the hashtag Go Blue Alberta campaign. And it's a program and it's a center that is definitely near dear to our hearts here at our podcast too. But the importance and how awesome it is to have that in your backyard here in Red Deer and the partnership that you guys continue to have on a year by year basis with them.
Well, it's been huge, you know, for your community. You know, it's, to be quite honest, it's really sad that you have to have something like this, you know, in whatever community does have it. And yet it's just the fact that you have this here, and it's, for so many different reasons, it's such a great thing to have. And, you know, and it's just not for Red Deer, it's for Central Alberta and maybe even going outside of Central Alberta, right? Because there's so much depth to it. And knowing the people that are involved in it and fantastic people, and for the Rebels to partner up with them and have been for quite a while now, but, you know, and then myself and my wife, Connie, being involved with, with the mental side of it too, and on that side of it, and the mental awareness side of it, and, and helping them through that with being one of the major sponsors in our community with it is significant, just not to my own family, but to the community, right? And any way you can do, anything you can do to help mental health, right? So, and it's a lot deeper than that. It gets into so many degrees of abuse, right? And you to be quite honest, as you guys are probably aware of it too, that it certainly happens in our society, and it's certainly something that we got to continue to work on to significantly decrease those situations that happen, and the ones that, you know, the victims, they need places to be supported and helped in, and doesn't matter what age you are. And so it's a great thing, and then have Nova come on and be a big sponsor with that, with ourselves, and having the Child Advocacy being part of it, and grouping together is certainly something we're proud of to be part of.
Yeah, no, it's very well said, Brent. I can't say enough great things about you and your family and the organization. Every player that I've met that's ever played in your organization has been stand up, and you have always been great to us here. And I appreciate you joining us again on our podcast, and everything you guys do in your community. And we're looking forward to getting out to a game here and kind of just probably actually now meeting you in person. So now everything has always been virtual, but we appreciate everything that you guys do, and thanks for coming on again.
No, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
So we just want to plug another sponsor who's going to join us this year. That's Brody McIntyre. He's our resident real estate agent.
The closer.
Closer, aka the closer. So Brode's, give us a good ad read here of what people can look for and how they can get a hold of you, and how long you've been in the industry for too.
Hey, we'll keep her quick, man. I've been doing this since 2004. Do 99% residential, kind of the greater Edmonton area. I work with REMAX, so we have the biggest market share out here. So, yeah, it's a good time to be alive and in real estate. Lots going on and turning to a little bit of a buyer's market, but we can help you with entry-level housing. Investments are really big right now. Rents are high, so if you want to invest, it's a great time, man. You're getting big money on rentals, so give me a shout anytime, REMAX Professionals, 780-777-3694.
Perfect. All right, short and sweet.
Well done, Brody.
Look at the Brodes coming in the closer. So, if you guys are looking at getting a hold of Brodes, just give him a shout. You also can follow him on Instagram and Facebook. He's in our bio. So if you're wondering what his handle is, just look at our bio. It's in there as everyone else is. So, look.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
Thanks again to Brent Sutter joining us on the 2 Months podcast. Jamie, what are your thoughts? That was a really good interview, I thought.
Oh yeah. I mean, he I can only answer for him, but, always open and honest, and, great hockey guy, man. Just a beaut. They got a really good thing going. And I think this is what we're going to start seeing more of as these guys come out of the, NHL, where you see the Hunters in London, you know, they purchase franchises and stay within the organization and kind of just grow a team because they've watched teams develop around them, you know, and I just love what they're doing here in Red Deer. You know, there's just an awesome, awesome, awesome organization.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they've been great day one since we've asked for some help and some support, or just, you know, get Brent on to kind of, you know, come on and just have a good conversation. And, you know, they're obviously off to a great start. And as Brent said, it's still early. There's a lot of hockey left. And, you know, it's a push to the WHL championship and then also a Memorial Cup appearance. So, you know, the grind is never easy, regardless if you're at a 10-0 start too. And obviously losing Kinger is going to be a big injury for them, but it's a player I like, watched a lot here. He's, you know, he got a great skill set. I'm happy that he got drafted kind of as an overager. So that was, you know, just the hard work, dedication to that. And then, you know, the fact that...
Do they have an injury report out on him yet? Like, are they giving him a time frame?
6 to 8 weeks is what they released this afternoon. So, yeah. So it just an injury, didn't give much detail just besides timeline of 6 to 8 weeks. But, you know, 5 games, he's got 10 points, 5 goals, 5 assists. So, you know, he's been, he's missed a few games there, but, and then now he's going to miss a little bit of chunk here, but, you know, hopefully he gets back and kind of picks up where he left off, but it's always going to be harder in that transition. But, yeah, I just said Brent, a great, great person. And, obviously the Central Alberta Child Advocacy Center, is again, very near and dear to our hearts here, and obviously to Red Deer and what Brent and Connie do. And, you know, the rest of the Sutter family in that area. Yep. You know, it's great people. And, you know, his son, Merrick, does a great job helping out. And others in the family there, too, with the organization. And just been a stand-up organization for such a long time, and continued success, you know, producing not only great hockey players, but just great people in that organization too. So you can't say enough. Yeah. It's not even just hockey players in the organization. They do that with the staff that they have. It goes much deeper and much higher than just the players on the ice. It's a full staff effort, and I've witnessed it firsthand, and looking forward to getting down to a Red Deer game here and, you know, kind of just checking it out. It's a beautiful rink. They got the best ice cream in the Dub, and I seen that firsthand. It was pretty sweet. During the whiskey cup, it was all the execs, all the GMs, they were just lining up like crazy when that ice cream stand opened up. So it was pretty cool to see. But
I'm in.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the 2 Months Podcast. We appreciate everyone listening in and you know, chiming in. So thanks for everyone's efforts and that, and our. And also again to our sponsors, and again to the Red Deer Rebels organization and Brent Sutter. Hope everyone has a great week. Enjoy, and we'll be back in a few.